Government of India just protested to China over the construction of a road coming in from the Sinkiang side across the Karakoram, in fact, across the Agil Pass into what is called as Shaksgam Valley. Shaksgam Valley is a high valley. High valley, when you say valley, you think this might be generally a friendly area, even if it's in the Karakorams or Himalayas. But among the valleys there, among the river valleys, it's probably among the highest. It is 14,764 feet. That is 4,500 meters. It is south of the Karakoram range. That is the important part. It is today controlled by the Chinese. It's owned by the Chinese. Importantly, it's south of the Karakoram range. Once again, if you look at the map of the subcontinent, Karakoram range is a kind of massif that stands between Tibet and the Indian subcontinent. The Chinese have very little by way of a foothold across the range or across the massif, if I may use that expression, because the massif is the subcontinent's defense. This is one bit of territory, one foothold that the Chinese have across this massif. They've now built a road across Agil Pass. Agil Pass also is not an easy area. In fact, if at all, Agil Pass is only a little bit higher than Shaksgam Valley. So Agil Pass is 4,805 meters or 15,764 feet. Shaksgam Valley, as we told you, is just about 305 meters lower. So this road comes over this pass, comes into this valley. Now, first of all, the valley has strategic importance, also symbolic importance. Maybe 60 years back, when some of these things happened and this valley came under the control of the Chinese. This is not a small valley. This is 5,180 square kilometers. When it came formally under the control of the Chinese on 2nd March 1963, based on an agreement, a boundary settlement that Pakistan and China signed. And I will tell you the geopolitics of that, because that's more interesting than the territorial jumble around this. Although I know whenever you talk of Karakorams, the Himalayas, it's very exotic, it's very interesting. And I know we all like to hear more about it, know more about it. However, the real story is the geopolitics behind it, because that is what matters. Otherwise, if geopolitics was in control, it was suitable, it was under your influence, or you generally were on top of the situation, then some of these territorial issues will not matter so much. And also, some of these territorial issues would not have come into place, would not have materialized, but for complex geopolitical issues. So what's now happened is, the Chinese have built this road, they are past masters at building roads. They started building it sometime last year. I'm sharing with you, and you will see these on your screens, a bunch of tweets by a young scholar called, his Twitter handle is called Nature Desai. So thank you very much, Nature Desai. You've done a fantastic job. He's also done a time-lapse video, and that's also on his Twitter handle, a time-lapse video of the progress of the Chinese road construction. What this does is, effectively, this gives the Chinese a road access from Sinkiang. Not from Tibet, from Sinkiang, across the Karakoram, straight behind the Indian positions, say at Siachen Glacier. Now, if you just look at the map, see the map, it could be Indian positions behind the Siachen Glacier. These could also be the Indian positions behind, generally behind, say, Dolak Beg Oldi, or the northernmost, northwesternmost point up to which Indian armed forces control the territory. Beyond that, it is in Pakistan's occupied in POK, Gilgit, Baltistan. So this Shaksgam Valley comes behind Daulat Beg Oldi on the southern side and or maybe in front of Siachen Glacier on the northern side. Now, once again, if you see the northern point of Siachen Glacier, the northernmost point, that is the peak of Indra Col. That's where India has always had detachment based. Indra Col is 18,911 feet, 18,911 feet or 5,764 meters. Now, that is just about 1 kilometer from Sia Kangri. Sia Kangri is the tallest peak in that general area, although it's by no means the tallest peak in the Karakoram. Siya Kangri is just about 1 kilometer from there. That is 24,350 feet. Siya Kangri, in a way, marks the trijunction between the areas controlled by China, Pakistan and India. Once again, look at the map. So to the northeast of Siya Kangri is the area controlled by China but claimed by India, that is Shaks Kam Valley. That's what we are talking about today. Southwest of the peak is area controlled by Pakistan and Baltistan area, Gilgit Baltistan, but claimed by India. And southeast of the peak, Siya Kangri peak, is the area that India controls in Ladakh and Siachen Glacier. So Siachen Glacier, Indra Col, is a place which is a kind of tri-junction of areas controlled by China on the west and areas controlled by Pakistan on the east. However, the important thing is that both sides are much lower than where India is. So now, tactically, it is very difficult to imagine anybody climbing these altitudes, at least climbing undetected and threatening Indian positions. And once you get detected, you know what happens in these mountains. But that said, it is not a pleasant feeling. It's not a pleasant feeling that in one area, that is Daulat Beg Oldi, effectively, at least theoretically, the Chinese are sitting in your back. In this place, in Siachen, Chinese are sitting in front of you. And then towards your west, the Pakistanis are there. And once again, if you see the way Siachen Glacier is defined, it is like a dagger, and that dagger is going into territory which has the Chinese controlling one side and the Pakistanis controlling on the other. So this looks like, on a map, this would look like a very fraught situation. However, if you talk to people, commanders who led the forces in that area, they say this is all right, but this is not as if the Chinese or the Pakistanis are going to have any easy time getting in here. However, when the Chinese build this road, this is enhancing their ability. And why are the Chinese doing it? Chinese are also doing it because they want to increase nuisance for India to the extent possible. Also, they want to make it that much possible for themselves to intercede or interfere or to stretch out Indian military resources in case there is a conflict between India and Pakistan tomorrow and India tries to take the Pakistan-occupied Kashmir. So this is a new front, and once again, this is a front across the Karakorams, because everywhere else to threaten India, the Chinese have to come across the Karakorams. So that is the line of defense for India. In this place, the Chinese have a foothold across the Karakorams. So that is the important geo tactical issue, and that's what we need to understand. Second, now we come to the second point. How did Shaks Kam Valley become under Chinese control? That's a complex story, but I will try and keep it as simple as possible, because that is the whole point of Cut the Clutter. So this agreement was signed on March 2, 1963. It was formally signed between Marshal Chen Yi, the Foreign Minister of People's Republic of China, Mao and Chou Enlai were around in that era, and Zulfikar Ali Bhutto on the Pakistani side as the Pakistani foreign minister. With that agreement, Pakistan and China formalized their demarcation of the borders between what they saw as Pakistan at that point, what Pakistanis saw as Pakistan, but obviously Pakistan occupied Kashmir for us, mostly in the Gilgit-Baltistan area, and the Chinese. What that did was that both sides gave up their existing claims on territory. There had been competitive map making on either side. Both sides had claim on territory, some of which fell across the major watersheds. Now, watershed principle in the mountains usually is followed for demarcating borders. What that means is watershed is the highest point in a mountain range from where water falls in a river basin. So watershed is the highest point in a mountain range from where water falls in a river basin. It's a controversial thing, but generally there are always disputes over it. But generally that is considered a sound approach. Now both sides had their claims. With this agreement, they settled their claims. However, they said in Clause 7 of that treaty, they said they acknowledged the fact that the status of Jammu and Kashmir was not final, and that this treaty will be reopened and renegotiated when India and Pakistan arrive at a final solution of the Kashmir problem. It was part of this settlement that some of the territories that India believes are India's, and those are shown on all of India's maps, particularly Shakskum Valley, that got transferred to the Chinese. And in the process, Chinese got this territory, this side of the Karakoram, say the Indian side of the Karakoram, south of the Karakoram. That is the territory the Pakistanis got, and immediately India protested about that. Nehru protested about that. In fact, if you research, and I was astounded by this, if you research and you see Nehru's statement in Parliament, Nehru actually says that Pakistan has gifted 33,180 square kilometers to the Chinese. So I also got thrown because I know the area of Shakskum Valley is about 5,180 square kilometers, and it's fairly well-defined area. So from where did 33,180 square kilometers come? To that, there is a very interesting twist. In 1959, when it had begun to look like to the Chinese that they were not going to get concessions from India on the border, their demands were more at that point on the western side, that is on the Ladakh side. Basically, at that point, they wanted formalization of their control over Xi Chin and also acceptance of what they called as the 1959 line on the Ladakh border. That's what they tried to reach in 2020 when they came to eastern Ladakh. That is what they were aiming for. Nevertheless, in 1959, to increase the pressure on the Pakistanis, Chinese issued new maps of the region, which showed large parts of Pakistani-controlled Kashmir, Pakistani-occupied Kashmir, as their territory. That included large parts of Hunza, for example. Because if you go back to history of the Himalayas and Tibetan regions, in fact, this whole bunch of complex mountains. If you go from west to east, you have the Pamirs. Remember, we once did a whole episode of Karta Clutter on the Pamir knot. So Pamirs on the west, then the Karakorams, and then the Himalayas, and between the Pamirs and the Karakorams, around time one leads to the other. You also see a mountain range going a little bit to the south, that is the Hindu Kush, and then it goes east to the Himalayas. If you look at all of these regions, you will always find this historical muddle. Historical muddle is at some point, ruler of one side was giving taxes or tributes to the other side. So either side can always produce some archival documentation saying, oh, your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather used to pay tax to my great-great-great-great-whatever. So in this case, the Chinese claimed that some ruler of Hunza used to pay tax to some ruler of Kashgar in Xinjiang, and that's why they claimed a lot of these territories. That spread panic in Pakistan. In India, in any case, there was trouble with the Chinese and those negotiations were going on and looked like things were getting worse between India and China. It was in response to that sometime in very early 1962, Pakistan issued its own map of the region, showing large parts of territory then in Chinese control in the Xinjiang region across the watershed, across the Karakoram watershed as their own. So that is the territory, that map was published, and when Nehru said Pakistan has ceded territory to China, he did not mention just this 5,180 square kilometers of Shakskum, which used to be a part of the maps of India, the maps of India that India inherited from the British. This was pretty much what was called the McDonald line drawn in 1899 and then modified by Lord Curzon in 1905. This was way beyond this line. This Pakistani claim leapfrogged the Karakorams and went to the Xinjiang side. That is what the Pakistanis sort of traded with the Chinese in this deal. In the process, Shakskum Valley was transferred to the Chinese, which India sees as a permanent concession from Pakistan to the Chinese, because the Chinese then started planting border pillars with the Pakistanis and changing realities on the ground, changing facts on the ground. And those facts are again being changed with the construction of this road. And if the roads come up, some habitations will come up. That is the way the Chinese operate. So that clause 6 of the treaty that said that this will be renegotiated once there is a final resolution of the Kashmir question between India and Pakistan. By the time that happens, too much water would have flown down the Shakskam River. The valley is named after the river. It's a river that's not part of the Indus system. In fact, it goes and flows into Jharkhand River, which is a tributary of Tarim River. So it goes into Sinkiang. Shakskam or Jharkhand River system is part of the Tarim River system that goes into Sinkiang, whereas the other rivers coming in from Hunza, Siachen side, etc., etc., they are all part of the Indus water system. So one set of rivers or tributaries goes on the southern side, that is the Indus system. The other goes on the northern sides, that is the Tarim system. That is the complexity here. Now, where do you find the best documentation on the agreement? One, I am sharing with you the statement that the MEA had issued. MEA had issued that statement along with some other documentation of which I am sharing a link with you. But the basic MEA statement, see on your screens. I thank researcher Claude RP who's archived all of this. Then you find something from the US State Department. US State Department produced a paper, a study called International Boundary Study number 85, dated November 15, 1968. I will share a copy with you. I'll share a link with you if you want to research more and go further in this. And they then gave us the text of the agreement along with some background and some explanation. In conclusion, they also said that this is the first formal agreement on this border between Chinese Turkestan, that was the name of Xinjiang then, and the Indian subcontinent. They also said that this should now be seen as international boundary on American maps officially, with a disclaimer saying that India disputes this territory or India claims this territory. So India disputes this agreement also. That is the 1968 study. Now we come to the geopolitics of it, which is the most interesting. And some of that geopolitics, to understand that, you have to read a paper by W.M. Dobell, of which also I'm sharing a link with you. And this was published in Pacific Affairs Journal. He was a professor at University of British Columbia. If you read that and read other details, see how quickly things have progressed from 1956-57 onwards. 1956 is when the Pakistani president Sohrawardi and Shomanlai have signed a friendship treaty. Then some tamasha goes on between the two because Pakistan by this time is a formal treaty ally of the Americans. And the Chinese see the Pakistanis as a threat. They see the Pakistanis with suspicion. By 1956, India has begun to believe that they have the Chinese sign off on their control of over Jammu and Kashmir. The Chinese acknowledgement that people of Jammu and Kashmir have already expressed their opinion, their view that they want to be part of India. So the Chinese have that leverage. Chinese start playing with that leverage. The Pakistanis also work in that direction. At some point in 1959, as the Pakistanis see India-China relationship souring, in 1959, Ayub Khan's government sends a formal note to the Chinese saying that they are willing to negotiate a border settlement with the Chinese. They get no reply from the Chinese at that point. However, the point comes soon enough. So this note from Pakistan in November 1959 expressing their willingness to negotiate got no response. However, in January 1961, see how the India-China relationship is deteriorating and it looks like they are heading for war. Pakistan and China are getting closer in spite of the fact that Pakistan is a treaty ally of the Americans. January 1961, China and Pakistan agree in principle for their border to be demarcated. Formally on May 2, 1961, they exchange notes agreeing to negotiate their border. And then it goes on from there. On 13th of October 1962, the Chinese delegation visits Pakistan to take this negotiation forward and start demarcation of this boundary. Remember, India-China war began on 20th October 1962. That's when the Chinese attacked the Thagla Ridge on the eastern side, on what used to be Nefa and what is now Arunachal Pradesh. That's when the war began. So exactly 1 week before the Chinese launched the invasion of 1962, their delegation, high-level delegation, had gone to Pakistan to take the border talks forward. So all this geopolitics was moving simultaneously like this. On December 28, 1962, while India was still licking its wounds, December 28, 1962, China and Pakistan announced that they pretty much had a border agreement. Then it took some time for carrying out aerial surveys, doing pic photography, etc. So by March 2, 1963, they announced the agreement. And I told you, the Americans in that 1968 paper, US State Department hailed this as, and I quote from that, the first formal international treaty to limit the boundary between Indian subcontinent and the Chinese Turkestan. And you know what? I told you that in 1956, particularly after the meeting with Chou Enlai on 16th of March 1956, and that meeting was very positive, Jawaharlal Nehru's government, India, started believing, they started taking for granted the fact from their point of view that the Chinese had accepted their argument, their view that the people of Kashmir had already expressed their willingness to be a part of India. That was now reversed. It looked like the Chinese were distancing themselves from that position as they got closer and closer to the Pakistanis. Then there was that war between China and India. March 2, 1963, Pakistan and China signed off on their quote-unquote border settlement. May 31, 1962, the Chinese Foreign Ministry sent a note to the Indian embassy in Beijing saying they had never accepted India's sovereignty over any part of Jammu and Kashmir. So you can see the geopolitical situation, the equation in the larger region, not just the subcontinent, but in the larger region, including China, had turned full circle. Now, who discovered Shakskam Valley, at least for modern times? The usual suspect, Francis Young Husband. He carried out an expedition in 1889. After that, MacDonald went in. Later, a very detailed expedition paper was written by E.E. Shipton. I have a copy of his paper for you, published in 1937 and read before the Alpine Club on January 18, 1938. This paper has a lot of detail. I am sharing a link with you, and I have all of this stuff, a lot of this stuff, thanks to my colleague Praveen Swami, who found these nuggets for me. So you can see this paper in detail. I'm sharing a link with you, and also some of the pictures from this we will borrow gratefully and continue using as I talk in this episode.